You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Fraser. This is your seat at the table. Hey guys, this is Darren, the producer of the show, and today's episode is timely because pretty much every business right now is looking to make the most of what they have with the least amount of effort, right? So today, we are going to hear some strategies on how to find leverage in your business.
About a year ago, my friend asked me if I'd ever thought about how big my company would be if I had never ever lost a customer. And that's a pretty crazy thing to think about. Of course, 100% customer retention is, as far as we know, impossible. But after that conversation, I really started thinking about how to increase customer retention. And after all, the more customers that you keep, the more money you do make, and it's generally 100% profit. So as most of you know, one of the most proven ways to increase retention is to communicate with your customers, which is why I've really been focusing on making our email newsletters great. And if you're interested in doing the same thing, I'd like to recommend you to our partners, the Newsletter Pros. They've done a ton of research on how email newsletters can make a big impact on customer retention, and they'll share it with you for free. Just text retention, R-E-T-E-N-T-I-O-N, retention, to 208-269-9111. That's 208-269-9111, and get your free retention guide.
So with that, I'll hand you over to Roland.
So I'm going to talk about how can you find leverage in your business. There's three quick ways to do this. It goes from simplest to a little bit complicated. I'm going to walk you through them. The first one is conversion, matching, and replication. So we'll walk through that. Then I'm going to go through a list of quick wins. These are things that we found over and over and over again that if we just go through this list, we'll find multiples of income from what we're earning right now. So as we're doing this, I want you to think about this. What are you doing right now that gives you the biggest result, and what of those things cost the least money? So from an ROI standpoint, email, which is outdated and nobody uses anymore, returns the most, more than anything else. More than anything else. So that might make you say, well, gosh, if I'm not really maxed out on my email, why should I be focusing on something that isn't returning as much? Thinking about this can change your business. And let's look at how much does email, okay, email is the one that has the biggest return. How much does that cost? Is that like super expensive? No, it's not. It's way down here. So if it's gonna have a super ridiculously high insane return and it's the second least expensive thing that you can do, are you doing it? That can change your life. That can change your business. So the first thing I said we talk about is conversion matching. And this is when we say, what channel are we marketing in right now that returns the most in terms of top-line revenue? What single channel are we using right now that returns the most in top-line revenue? And then we say, what product are we selling that contributes the most to margin? What are we selling that makes us the most money? And then we like to match the highest converting channels to the highest converting and highest margin generating products. What we found in Digital Marketer is that the answer was events. We thought it was our products, but it's actually events. Events for both things. Events give us the highest margin, and events generate the most conversions for us as well. So ask yourself these three questions. What can contribute the most to your top line revenue? What can contribute the most to margin? And then we're gonna match those up to come up with the highest profitable growth. So what is your highest converting front ends that you've got? Front ends are the things that get people into your marketing funnel. If you're on Amazon, then the highest converting front end is the thing that you're selling the most of, the fastest, on Amazon. And the reason that this is helpful, there is two things. One is we're gonna match these up and be sure that you've got the highest converting things on the front end and the back end. But the second thing is, what if you only have one thing listed on the front end? If you have only one front end, then you don't have enough front ends because of a thing called offer fatigue. So you need to have at least 7 different ways to get people to do business with you, 7 different things to get them into your core product funnel, or you're going to ultimately run out of, your offer's just going to tire and you're not going to be able to replace it. So what we do is we've got 7 things and we run one for about 6 weeks and then we stop that one and we run the next one for about 6 weeks, 7 times, and then we start over again. That way, our first offer never gets tired. And then what I'd like for you to do is just match them up and be sure that your highest, the thing that gets the most people in, the thing that converts the most and gets the most people into your funnel is also matched with the thing that makes you the most money that converts the best. And that's important because the more people that see your highest converting back end, the better. If you've got a low converting front end on the front that leads to an amazing high converting thing on the back, then not as many people are going to see it. And it might sound really basic, but I'm telling you, when we go through this, we always find that we've forgotten to put something new on the back of something that's converting really well. We tested a funnel and it works and we're excited and then we go on to the next thing. And it's really, really important to take the time to go back and do this kind of exercise to be sure that you're maximizing the value in the company. The next one is manufacture in-house. So I'll give you an example of this. We started out selling t-shirts on the front of our offers. And when we started, the t-shirts were costing us, I don't know, about $15 for a really good high quality t-shirt printed. And as we started selling more and more of them, we decided that we would like to pay less. And so we sourced a really good supplier and we were able to pay about $6. This is including shipping, by the way. We were able to pay about $6. And that was cool until we got to selling about 60,000 t-shirts a month. As, by the way, giveaways on the front of our funnel. Those are free plus shipping kinds of things. And when we were selling 60,000, we decided that maybe it would be nice if we could pay less than that. So we went and bought the t-shirt manufacturing machines. We went to a trade show in Long Beach, and there is a t-shirt printing trade show. We went there, and we sourced a dry transfer process and a t-shirt supplier, and we were able to take our cost shipped for t-shirts down to $3. $3 on 60,000 t-shirts a month is about $180,000 a month in saved costs, right? So manufacturing in-house is a big deal. Consider, I know a lot of you might be sourcing products over in China. If you're doing that, then you are coming close to manufacturing in-house. But are there middle people that you're dealing with? If you're going to, say, Canton Fair, there are definitely middle people that you can eliminate. So think about if you're doing something, how can you manufacture in-house? The other 3 that are tremendously effective are buying your competitors, buying your suppliers, buying your clients. So all this is what we call in business vertical or horizontal integration. That's that we're collapsing, vertical is we're collapsing the supply chain by buying people who are higher up in the chain and clients are down in the chain. So if we can consolidate that, then we can pick up the other person's margin and that makes more money for our company. Horizontal is we're going out and buying our competitors, and buying your competitors is one of the fastest way to grow your business. The next is turning cost centers into profits. You can buy complementary media. One of the first things that we did was we had a deal with a guy that had a blog that was generating about $30,000 a month. And he said, I want to be bought out. I want to be bought out. And he said, fantastic. We'd love to own that media. What's it doing in terms of revenue? It's doing $30,000 a month in revenue. What do you want for it? I don't know. $30,000 a month. I'd like to have that like for a year just so, all right, fine. So we bought for $30,000 a month, $360,000, and the first month we changed the name to Survival Life, and we did $100,000. And then we built that to $3 million a month. And then we built it to more than $3 million a month. and buying that complimentary media for you, you've got all of the tools that you need to take these assets that most people don't know how to turn into money and really multiply them. So if you can buy them for what they're doing now even, this can be a tremendous add-on to your business. The other two are franchising to others, so taking the things that you've got and actually taking the SOPs, the standard operating procedures, and the business brand and everything, and saying, hey, other person, you can open a business just like this in a different geographic territory. I'm going to give you all my systems, all my brand, everything, even provide you with the product, and you'll be able to do this. This allows you to expand so fast. You can expand so fast because other people's money is coming in to fund it. And then your profit centers become franchise sales, royalties, product sales, there's all kinds of places to make money franchising. Licensing your stuff to other people works too. We license our intellectual property to other people to do everything from masterminds to sell products, okay? That's a great way to make money. Creating JVs and strategic partnerships, licensing other brands, other people's brands and products. So Damon John did a deal on Shark Tank for this thing called Spy Escape, and then came to us and said, hey, you guys sell to people that might be interested in this. Would you be interested in doing it? So we licensed that product to market, and we sold $2 million of it real quick. And Damon called us and said, hey, I got some other products. Would you guys be willing to sell those too? And since then, we've been able to form a really good relationship with him. Crowdfunding with clients, standard debt and equity offerings, borrowing a sales force. Borrowing a sales force is a fantastic thing to do. What if you don't have the people that you need to get stuff into the stores or into retail distribution and you want retail distribution? I owned a motorcycle helmet manufacturing company and wanted to get my motorcycle helmets into all the mom and pop stores all over the country, but I needed a rep network to actually go and call on people and say, hey, will you buy our helmets? They're really cool, right? But I didn't have one, and I didn't want to spend the money to do that. So what I did was I went to a motorcycle parts manufacturer and said, you guys already have a rep network. You're already calling on these couple thousand stores. I'll give you my helmets. I'll give you a profit on those helmets, and it's more money and more product for your folks to sell. It doesn't compete with anything you have. Are you willing to do that? And they said, yeah. And so we built that company up and sold it to KKR, right? We had huge distribution. A good friend of mine, Jesse Itzler, started a company called Marquee Jets. He started a company called Marquee Jets by selling jet cards, but he didn't have any jets. So he's like, well, how can I get access to a jet network? So he went to Warren Buffett's company, NetJets, and said, you guys have 850 jets. How about if you let me sell jet cards for your jets? And they said, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. You're like 20-some years old and crazy. But ultimately, he was able to convince them to do that. And so he got access to this product network, billions of dollars worth of jets for nothing. One other fellow that you might have heard of is a guy named J. Paul DeJorio. He started a company called Paul Mitchell, and then he got into the tequila business and started selling tequila, and he took all these orders for this awesome tequila, and he went to the spirits distributors and said, hey, I'd like to use your distribution network. Would you be willing to sell my tequila? And they said, Jose Cuervo says no. Jose Cuervo says, we want you selling our stuff. Don't go sell that stuff he has. So he went to the wine distributors, and he said, listen, I've got this tequila. It's so amazing. It's like a wine. It's like a wine. It just drinks. It's got these notes. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, it's so good, I won't let the spirits distributors sell it. But I'm going to let you sell it. And they did, and that's how Patron Tequila caught on.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.